Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. Culture Club.
Money FM 89.3. It's the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. You are what you eat. That's a statement we hear quite often, don't we? But for the last few years, it seems that we've been focusing more on the front half of that statement. You are, okay? But what you are defines who you are. It creates your identity, if you think about it. See, our next guest, at the age of 6, arrived in Australia and grew up immersed in the multicultural energy of Sydney. Now, his interest in cooking was inspired by great international chefs that he had studiously read about. And his curiosity in the likes of Joe Robuchon and Thomas Keller led to a career cooking in the kitchens of some of the country's most innovative and well-respected restaurants. Now he has opened Quinino by Victor Leong, located at Artisan Singapore Hotel. We're going to find out more about Quinino. On the line with me is Victor Leong, who's the chef and creative at Quinino by Victor Leong. Chef Victor, good afternoon. How are you?
Really well, thank you.
So excited to be able to talk food, but I've noticed in recent times when you talk to a chef about food, it's always got to do with his or her heritage. So you were born in Brunei to Malaysian parents of Chinese heritage, then moved to Australia. Tell me a little bit about how that entire process influenced who you are as a chef.
I think growing up in Brunei, it was idyllic lifestyle. You know, my dad is an electrical engineer. He worked for Shell. So a lot of happy memories of just playing with my brothers, sisters, neighbors, eating a lot of kind of local food. And then we moved to Malaysia for a little bit, kind of when I was age 5. And that was great because my grandfather used to own a restaurant. So it's just a lot of, once again, food, good times. And then moving to Sydney at the age of 6 was an interesting transition because we moved in the middle of winter. And when you have your whole life in the tropics, it's a big kind of just physical shock. But and what was good about Australia in the kind of late 90s, early 2000s was just a lot of, you know, multicultural immigration. Yeah. And just I grew up in a neighborhood that was full of, you know, Sri Lankans, Lebanese, you know, obviously, you know, Southeast Asians. So it was just a great time to, you know, just hang out. So yeah, a lot of great food memories around that time.
It's interesting you say that, Chef, because as you describe it, I was recently asked, where do you draw your happiest memories from? And I tend to say it's from the 90s. I don't know, just something about that decade. For you, Chef, where do you draw your inspiration?
I think, you know, for me, it's a big range. You know, I'm lucky to have a big range of kind of inspiration as well. You know, I think, you know, a lot of it is from family, you know, so growing up in Southeast Asia, because we used to visit Southeast Asia, you know, while we were still in Sydney. So, you know, a lot of family holidays, you know, a lot of like large kind of family dinners and banquets and stuff. And then as I developed as a chef, it was a lot of travel, you know, a lot of just learning new dishes and techniques and then trying to read up on the historical context of all of that and just find kind of connections with the food and the culture and kind of myself with it. So, yeah, just inspiration comes in, you know, I'm lucky to have a very broad kind of pool of inspiration to pull from.
Yeah. What about cooking role models?
I've got plenty. I think, you know, when you're young, it's, you know, my mom, my granddad, you know, very good cooks. And then as I was an apprentice, I became a little bit lucky to work with some fantastic chefs. You know, in Sydney, I worked for Mark Best, who had, you know, 3 Hat restaurants. You know, I think it was listed in the top 100 kind of world's best restaurants at the time. And he was, you know, he had a very kind of firm foothold in contemporary French and European cuisine. And then, you know, obviously, I think back then it was the age of just before Google. So you had to just go the old school way and read a cookbook. Yeah. and flick through it and imagine how it would taste and feel to be in those restaurants. So, you know, a lot of like Thomas Keller cookbooks, a lot of Joe Robuchon cookbooks, as you mentioned. Yeah. So, yeah, it was more curious time, I feel.
And you identify yourself as a third culture chef. Help us understand that term a little bit.
So it's, you know, born in Southeast Asia with Malaysian Chinese parents. Okay. And then moving to Australia. So I think, you know, growing up in Australia, you kind of pigeonholed into, you know, something that you are. And I think growing up, it was Australian Chinese. And then, you know, coming back to the region, it's kind of allowed me to re-explore the heritage of my parents.
Oh.
So it was nice to kind of, you know, delve into the culture and the heritage of someone who's a little bit more Malaysian Chinese. Right. As opposed to Australian Chinese. Yeah.
I think that works really in this part of the world. Like for myself, I'm of a Dutch Portuguese heritage. And at a certain age, you want to go on this discovery to kind of understand that culture a little bit more. Food, obviously, is a big part of it. Do you see this growing as a trend as far as the restaurant and food scene is concerned?
Yeah, look, I think anyone creative that has, you know, kind of complex heritages like yourself and myself is, you know, there's certain times of your life where, you know, you dive into something and it just resonates with you a little bit more.
Yeah,
you know what I
yeah.
mean? So like when, for example, when I opened Liho Fook, I was really dialing into my Chinese heritage, you know, and, you know, Chinese cuisine and the culture and the history. But then, you know, returning to Southeast Asia and doing Kininio, it was more about, you know, memories and kind of the feel and the visceral kind of energy of being back in Southeast Asia and cooking and using ingredients that was almost like a memory to me, you know what I mean?
Like,
and then actually being able to work with them was another kind of reimagining and, you know, deep dive into that part of myself even, you know? So I think that kind of stuff's really exciting. So,
Chef, personal favor, I've got to plan the next date night. My wife, who is also of mixed heritage, loves trying out new restaurants. So if I'm a new restaurant goer to Kininio, what can I expect there? What kind of food, what kind of ambience can I expect?
Oh, first of all, if you are going to take your wife on a date, you have to come to Kininio. And what to expect? So we serve a tasting menu. And so the idea is to express, you know, our creativity and my style of food here, back here in Singapore, in little kind of, you know, tastes and textures and things that are quite inspired. So the first half of the menu will be, you know, five or six little snacks, and then we dive into slightly more substantial food. So dishes that have, you know, seafood, a couple of things that, you know, kind of reference the culture and history of Singapore. And then we dive back into what we're kind of known for, which is exciting contemporary Asian cuisine. And, you know, it's in a beautiful new kind of hotel, new hotel that's got this vision of New Asia, you know, so touches that are very familiar to, you know, people like you and me, especially you with the Dutch Portuguese heritage, you know, we really dive into that. You know, the name Kininio comes from the Kristang slang for, for, you know, little ones. So because the footprint of the hotel is actually quite small. So everything about it is we try and keep quite boutique. So yeah, they're the things to expect.
I thought that this was a bit of a Kristang sort of name because somehow I feel I've heard my auntie say this before. By the way, it is located level 4 of Artisan Singapore Hotel. So tell us a little bit more about the menu, though. I know you mentioned a little bit of it, but the creative work behind it, tell me that process.
Ah, okay. So we serve two menus. We call it the small and the big one. So the small menu is the focus menu, which is 7 courses, and then the discovery is 9 courses.
Okay.
So the focus menu for us is an exploration of ingredients, you know, flavors, techniques. So a couple of things that kind of stand out. We have a kind of mud crab tart. So hand-picked mud crab, we usually source from Australia or Sri Lanka if it's out of season. And we combine it with one of my favorite flavor profiles with crab, because crab is usually quite rich and sweet. And, you know, I think anywhere that has mud crab that you can, you know, kind of enjoy almost year in, year out, it's a nice feature because it's one of the distinctive kind of crabs, right? Because it's got a big flavor, firm flesh, really sweet, a little bit of richness. So it naturally kind of pairs with, you know, flavors in my memory, which is, you know, white pepper, taro, coconut. So we encapsulate all these favorite things of mine into a little tart, and we serve that very early in the menu. And we pair it with a Ossetra caviar that we found from an artisanal Malaysian farm, just to kind of highlight that there is very high quality aquaculture just around the corner from us.
Wow, that's really interesting. Chef, I've been meaning to ask this. So you have Liho Fook in Melbourne and you have Kininio here in Singapore. Yet here in Singapore, I understand you also work with a chef de cuisine, which is essentially a head chef. How do you manage everything? How does it all come together?
You know, I think I'm lucky because I have very good team leaders and, you know, Chef Sue.
Okay.
So Chef Sue is my chef de cuisine, as you mentioned, you know, so my head chef here in Singapore, so at QVL, so Kininio and Barbecue Lyon. And she's super capable, you know, like she's trained, you know, in Singapore, and she has, you know, a very, very rich experience and history of working in, you know, a lot of fine dining and kind of higher end casual places. And her kind of experience with the flavor profiles and the suppliers and producers, and also the chef network is valuable for our project, but also it makes it an amazing kind of experience for me to work with her, because we have such high trust that she understands like my vision and her kind of execution and knowledge on how to put the message across, especially on the plate, is, you know, right up there. So a pleasure to work with her.
So this is a question on the creative side of you. I mean, I know it's early days. We're talking about this. Hopefully it gets a little bit of traction. More people go check it out. How soon do you as a creative start thinking about, I don't know, tempering with the menu, modifying, adding more stuff? How does that work? Always.
Always. You know, I think, because every time I'm here, I'm at the market first, you know, just to have a look at what's around. And you know, with that, you know, there's always a WhatsApp group chat of, hey, okay, this is what I want to work with, or what are your thoughts on this, you know, and this is ingredients, producers, you know, anything, you know, like it could be, I take a photo of like the garden and I'm like, how do we capture this to tell the story of what we want to do, you know, in the next menu? And I think there's a lot of cryptic, but then sometimes a lot of direct conversation. So it's fun for the team because they're just all super creative and really talented, and just, you know, I love the team at QVL. So just high energy and passionate, you know?
Yeah. Chef, I know you mentioned you're always thinking about this, but is there a particular food or dish that you indulge in? One where you just turn off your senses except to enjoy the dish that's right in front of you?
All the time. How many times do I do that when I'm in Singapore? Because there's obviously, you know, there's a lot of real kind of signature dishes and restaurants here,
yeah,
that we can't have in Melbourne. So
okay,
there's a few places that as soon as I get off the plane.
What's the go-to first thing you got to have when you're off the plane and here in Singapore?
Dude, I've got two, right? So I've got one because obviously when you land Changi, you can just skip over to Jewel, right?
True.
So there's a duck restaurant called Dian Sao Er. I love it.
Yeah.
I always go. Like the Angelica's root sauce on the duck is like amazing. And every time I eat it, I'm like, oh, how do I get this like onto the menu in Melbourne?
Yeah.
Right, that's one. And then if I don't make it to Dian Sao Er, I jump in a Grab and I tell the guy, take me to JB Ameng. Because it's on the way, right? It's on the way.
Yeah.
So that's a pro tip. Either if I don't go to JB Ameng on the way to the hotel, I stop off before I fly.
Okay. Now we know your habits. And you definitely have to go check out Quinino by Victor Leong. It is located level 4 of Artisan Singapore Hotel. I've been speaking with Victor Leong, chef and creative for Quinino by Victor Leong. Chef, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.